NFT.
NFT.
NFTs.
NFTs.
Non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, are exploding in popularity.
This is ZenChats. I am Zeneca. Let's talk NFTs. Hello and welcome to another episode of ZenChats. I am Zeneca and I'm here with Ocean from Salty Pirate Crew. I'm thrilled to be here. Salty Pirate Crew is a fantastic project with a lot going on. We're going to dig into all of it. But before that, we're gonna meet Ocean and get to know him a bit better. Welcome. How are you?
Great, mate. It's really good to chat to you.
Yeah, you too. It's good to hear another Aussie voice. Just you're actually located in Australia, right?
Yeah, I'm in Sydney. And it's really rare to meet a lot of people in Australia. But, you know, we're starting to see a lot of people Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, all around Australia, actually creating some really great concepts and working together, which is really cool. And it's good to see that community coming together.
Yeah, I love to see that. And like you said, that there's a good amount of Aussie builders in Web3 already, which is, for the size of the population, just wonderful to see. All right. Look, I always like to start these by going back and like asking about your origin story. So like before NFTs, what were you up to? And then how did you get into this crazy, crazy world of Web3?
It's an interesting question. I mean, everyone's got a really cool story about how they entered this space. And you know, mine's, you know, like a lot of other people in this space, I feel like we all came kind of from like, that agency side background where we kind of understand marketing, we understand, you know, websites, we understand the technology. So a lot of people I found have come from an agency background, and similar to me, I've got that agency background. So we kind of have that mix of marketing, have that mix of, you know, understanding ROI, campaigns, et cetera, and working with what works online. So, you know, I've got that background in agency world, and I've probably built hundreds of websites in my life and built lots of campaigns and worked with really interesting business owners. And, you know, I had one mate come to me about 4 or 5 years ago, and he had this really interesting concept, which was to do what Airbnb was doing, but for business related spaces. Airbnb did was they took people's homes and gave them a CRM, they gave them a booking engine, they gave them no home had, and then a platform for people to find them. And, you know, there was no real platform for people to find business opportunities. Like, and it was more sort of short term. Because, you know, renting a house is over the weekend or whatever it is on Airbnb. Yeah. So we started diving into, you know, meeting rooms. We started diving into co-working spaces because there was the rise of co-working. We started diving into things like ghost kitchens as we saw the pandemic hit. So people were moving into these kitchens with no retail aspect, but we're actually using the kitchen to deliver food as we saw that sort of rise in online ordering because obviously we couldn't get around. Yeah. And we did a lot of conferencing. We did a lot of, you know, work with some really big tech companies like Canva, which is like a billion-dollar company here in Australia. Also worked with Atlassian, some real big tech giants, and worked with all the hotels and stuff like that. And then COVID hit, and our business model was about getting people together. So overnight that was like, you know, damage control for us. And, you know, our pivot into ghost kitchens, you know, wasn't enough. And I was looking for other ways to make money, and, you know, like I stumbled across NFTs, and it wasn't to make money. It was really a passion because, you know, like we all think about why we came into this space, and I try to think about, you know, the reason why I fell in love with it. I ask myself all the time, and it's because, you know, when you're a kid and you used to open up the bubble gum and you used to get those Ninja Turtle cards or used to like get the Pokemon cards or like basketball cards, and I never felt like that in such a long time until I stumbled across NFTs. And it's that whole mystery around, you know, what are you going to get, you know, trading, you know, ownership. And I was just like instantly hooked. And, you know, I sat down and immediately I knew, I was like, I want to be a builder. I want to build something. I want to build experiences. Innovation and building is in my DNA. It's like what I love to do. So, you know, I've got like really great learning curve from, you know, building Space Now, which was my company in Web2. You know, like we went through rounds of funding. We went through, you know, exploratory ways to, you know, drive our business and ecosystem. You know, we looked at ways, you know, to develop the product. You know, we built MVPs. We iterated. We did so much stuff. And it was an amazing learning curve for me to really understand, you know, what it takes to really build a build to be a builder. Because, you know, you sit on as an agency side and, you know, you look at, you know, a business that's already built and how to market it better. And, you know, being inside of a startup and seeing those challenges and going through all those issues and problems and growth pains and, you know, the scalability and stuff like that, I feel like that really gave me the tools to really work inside of here and really want to be that builder in this space. So, you know, combining, you know, that learning or discovery phase that I had in building a startup and then this whole feeling of being a kid again and, you know, opening up those you know, packets of cards and seeing what you've got. And I've still got all of my basketball cards. I've still got I can't part with them. You know, like I'm in love. So, and I was actually going through my stuff because, you know, like you'd agree with me on this, that this space is about nostalgia. Like you got your 8-bit stuff.
100%.
Got like things that look like some of the early games we were playing. So I was like, for inspiration, I'm going to go through some of my old stuff. So I unpacked my old box with all my old stuff, my cards, and I found, I'm probably just going to show my age now, but I found the original Monkey Island game, which was in a cardboard box and it had all the floppy disks in it. And I love that game so much because it was like, I don't know if you know it, but it was like an adventure game where you walked around just to find items, just to unlock stuff. It was like, it was a very interesting game at the time because it was just, it was funny, it was quirky, you know, you had to walk around and do stuff and you had to do one thing to unlock another. And it kind of reminded me like a lot of NFTs, like, you know, like you have to do one thing to get to the next level. And it's like this progression, you know, we see it in a lot of, you know, utility or projects at the moment. So I was like, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing Pirates because, you know, Pirates is, it's like for me, it's like that connection that I had playing my game with my brother and my dad. And, you know, it's like had that real connection or meaning for me. And I hadn't really seen a lot of Pirate NFTs in the space at that time. And, you know, there's so many projects that have an eye patch or a pirate hat and they all, big love for Pirates. So immediately I knew what I was doing. I looked for an artist. We spent a lot of time looking for an artist and we finally found this guy in Jakarta and he works for this YouTube channel that is like they've got about 15 or 20 million subscribers. Wow. He does art for them and he had enough time to sort of work with us and the first iteration of our design was horrendous. Like if I show you it's that progression towards getting to where you want to be. And you can see on my left side, I've got the generation ones. So this side, sorry, is our generation ones. And then on the other side, we've got our gen twos. And that was a message more of inclusivity, bringing women into the space. And you can see the level of art and how it's changed. You can see like this is definitely the first one. And then the second one, we really sort of started to really understand what we want to achieve through our art. So you
know, it's more polished, I would say.
It's a lot more polished. And we want to maybe try and go back at some point and go polish those just the way that we did our Gen 2s. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself.
I'd love to know timeline-wise. So I'm always interested in when, like, specifically people got into NFTs because it's very different if you got in the start of 2020 when the pandemic hit versus like mid 2021 or January 2022. So like when was it that you start like pivoted away from Web 2 and saw NFTs and felt that nostalgia?
Well, I probably held on too long to my previous company at that time. So it was probably around June last year.
Mm. Yeah, I think a lot of people came in around then.
Yeah, June last year is when I moved across and then I started, you know, the whole process of building a team, finding the artist, and then we launched around January 26. So it took a long time for us to really build what we wanted to build in terms of the art, in terms of what we wanted to do. We wanted to try and create a collection that added value. We looked at, we did a huge deep dive in the market. We saw what was working, what wasn't working. And, you know, not by being, you know, not the first, but, you know, not trailblazers, we had the, you know, luxury of sort of sitting back and seeing how the market responded to certain things, what worked, what didn't work, what projects were doing really well. And, you know, it's hard to not take inspiration from Board 8 Yacht Club. I mean, they've built the best community and they've built the best ecosystem, and they just, everything they touch turns to gold. And it's really, you know, it's inspirational as a builder to look at a project like that. And, you know, I saw that what they were doing really well is building strength in community. And they were also doing real life IRL stuff. They were doing, you know, like they were actually providing value and doing a lot of that stuff. So that's really what I wanted to do. And then I saw a lot of other projects, you know, creating like a Gen 2, and you know, that Gen 2 being a free airdrop, and you know, like holders don't see any value in that because the community is too immature, or it's not matured enough that they're given something for free that has no value, and all of a sudden that goes down to zero, and then it takes the other project down to zero. And similarly, I saw that with, you know, coins that, you know, people creating native tokens inside of ecosystems, and that was a race to the bottom. So a lot of things that we got to see and not have to experiment with and be part of that, was we were really lucky. And we've done things to combat some of those things that we've seen. So we can talk about those in a minute if you like. But there are things that we've had the luxury of seeing. You know, we were very lucky, I think, at the time we came in. And, you know, like it's become, you know, very saturated now, and it's very hard for a project to launch, but, you know, and to be noticed. So, you know, for us, you know, we're highly focused on building and delivering it, like, because we've got an objective and a vision, and we're very highly focused on delivering that.
How would you describe your project, Salty Pirate Crew? I mean, there's lots of different types of projects. There's PFP projects, there's gaming, there's storytelling. You know, 30 seconds, like, how would you describe Salty Pirate Crew?
So it is a PFP, so it can be used as a PFP, but what we're doing is we're taking that startup approach towards building a game. So we know that, you know, to build a game, you have to have millions of dollars, and we don't have that right now. So what we're doing is we're creating, the way to summarize it, it's a progressive roadmap, and it's a storyline. So it's a hero's journey from, you know, like a pirate to, all the way to a captain. And for us to create that journey, we need to create experiences. And, you know, we've broken it up into chapters, and right now we're up to chapter 2. So chapter 1 was around our pirates. Chapter 2 is around our females. And, you know, I was talking about before, you know, people dumping the Gen 2s. We've thrown a game in the center, in the middle of it, to gamify the process of earning one of those Gen 2s, which what it does is it means that people get to see value in the project, or see value in the Gen 2, because they're not just giving it for free. It's something that they have to play and earn, which is also fun at the same time. And you know, I can talk a little bit about that. But we're moving from chapter to chapter. And in between every single chapter, we are developing a game that we're working towards with, you know, land, you know, cannons, defense mechanisms. You know, there'll be taverns and all sorts of stuff that are going to have all these different mechanics that we're working towards. And each time we build this game, between each chapter, we're slowly developing that game, and we're bringing in and we're using these chapters, and we're doing one paid, one free, one paid, one free. And then that way we're rewarding the holders, and then also allowing for the project to continually make money. So, and the project needs to make money for us to build the game that we're build. But essentially, to summarize what I just said, it's a pirate experience. We're going to build a pirate game, and we're also building this progressive storyline that you get to be a part of and go through the journey.
I love it. I think it's, I mean, you hear a lot of projects saying they're building a game, but like you said, it costs millions and millions and takes a long time to build. And so many say, hey, we're going to launch a game, and then they sell the NFTs, and they haven't thought about how they're going to get from A to B. It's very clear that you've got this roadmap, this plan, this story that you're going to take people on a journey on the way there and make it fun and engaging and rewarding. And yeah, it's really well thought out, I think. You mentioned you're doing some other things as well. Like I know that there's like in real life collaborations you've had, you've had partnerships. Maybe talk about some of the other things that you're doing to sort of engage the community.
Yeah, sure. So early on, so before I even launched, I knew I had to get a really good marketing team behind me. So I made a couple of phone calls to some people that I've worked with before. And there's this agency down in Melbourne called No Standing. We partnered with them. And the reason why I did that is we worked together in Web2. We did a lot of stuff. They're very big in the music industry. And I sat down with them. We had breakfast. And I said to them, look, you know, this is the vision for Salties. I said, we want to actually, you know, go into metaverse. You know, we want to not just focus on the land. We want to build ships that float in the air, because like nobody's talking about the air in Sandbox. Mm-hmm. Everyone's talking about the ground.
Yeah.
So we want to try and focus on building this floating ship. We drop anchor, you know, stuff like that. You know, we're talking about these very early days. But you know, like they were hooked. And I said to them, you know, the one thing I really want to do with Salty Pirates is I want to actually get this in the hands of people. Now, every single collection right now is fighting for space on Times Square Boulevard, and that's cool, but you have to pay for that.
Mm.
How can we get on a product, and how can we get in people's homes? And then I said the best way for us to do that is to align ourselves with an alcohol brand, because, number one, pirates relate to alcohol. It's in their DNA. It's in their blood. Every single movie we've ever seen, the drinking rum.
Yeah.
If we can somehow align with some product, I showed them like a mock-up of a pirate sitting on a tequila brand. They were like, love this. This is awesome. So, you know, like we brainstormed that. And these guys, within 2 weeks, we hadn't even launched.
Yeah.
Had a partnership with a company here in Australia, which is called Fizz. And Fizz is owned by Fisher, the electronic DJ, and a couple of other guys as well. And it is probably one of the most progressive alcohol brands in Australia, because they're focused on a vertical called Stelzer's, which is this, you know, brand that's low alcohol, low sugar. Mm. But they're really designed for people that are health conscious when drinking, because they don't want all those sugars and stuff in RTD. Yeah. And they're able to mix these drinks with like any brand of alcohol. So they're tequila and stuff like that. So, you know, they said, look, we're really keen and really interested to work with you guys because it's a new market for us. Mm. But it's interesting because, you know, we'd be the first to do it, and, you know, we can do something with our product design that will stand out from the crowd. And, you know, that's something that they were really interested in. And, you know, we started, you know, getting together, started thinking about ideas for the concept. And we're at a point now where we've actually chosen the flavor, but we had 3 flavors that we were designing with the team. And then we gave the 3 options to the DAO, and we let the DAO decide. Mm. And they all voted, and now we're producing, like, it's probably like maybe 4 or 5 weeks away now. We've got a Salty Pirate Rum Punch coming out, and it's got all our NFTs around the top, and it's our own flavor. And they said it's the best flavor they've ever made. And, you know, they're doing really, really well. I think they're almost second or third now to Smirnoff and some of the big boys.
Wow, it's just cool how you're able to integrate the community and get them involved in the process as well. Is there do holders of the NFTs, will they get like a discount to buy them or anything like that, or is it just at events and stuff?
We've already given discounts to holders for the current collection and the current which they have. They're absolutely going to get a discount for the Salty Pirate one.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to be invited to our launch party that we're going to have up at Fizz HQ, which is in the Gold Coast. So anyone that can make it, I know that it's really hard for a lot of people that are outside of Australia.
Right, so yeah.
We do have a big number of people that are from Australia now, I'd say like maybe 30%.
Mm-hmm.
But people are asking us almost daily, when is Fizz going to be in Scotland?
Yeah.
When is Fizz going to be in Ireland? When is Fizz going to be in Europe? And, you know, Fizz are like, they're like loving this. They're like,
yeah,
you know, we're getting so much new exposure. You know, it's not the biggest community you've ever seen in NFTs in the world, but it's a very passionate one. And we try to involve our community all the time in all of our decision-making, because that's what Web3 is. It's like this inclusivity. It's, you know, communities are like, people throw community out like it's a buzzword. Mm.
It's so overused, but
yeah. It is. And like, even when I say it, you probably think, oh, yeah, great, you know, like another guy saying, you know, community. But in this bear market, we've seen only 110, 120 max for sale on our project. That is like below 3-4%. Yeah. And that's the height of this bear market. So we have some amazing people in our project. Like, they put their hand up for everything. The support that I get from these guys is like, Barrett, we love what you're doing. Please keep going. You know, daily messages like that from the
community. Amazing.
So I'm really lucky to have the group that we have.
Like you said, that's what Web3 is all about. And it's just awesome to hear stories like that. I want to sort of dig into the marketing a little bit more. You said you worked with a Web2 marketing firm or agency. I'm just curious, like, had they worked with NFTs before? Did they know what NFTs were? What was that whole process like? Did you have to like really hold their hand, or were they like already understanding of Web3?
They were already very understanding of Web3. Recently, I'd say probably in the last 2 months, they've actually converted their whole agency to Web3. You know, everybody started in Web3 at some point, so you've got to have some starting point. They're so big in music, so they've been doing festivals, they've been doing, you know, major artists. They launch some huge artists here in Australia. You probably heard of some of the guys that they work with, and a lot of those guys are holding pirates and are in our ecosystem. And I'll explain why we've got, you know, like a big community. Or music is something that we're special that we're working towards. But artists, like musicians, are artists, and that makes a lot of sense for them, because we've seen a lot of artists come into this space because they understand creativity, they understand, you know, art, they understand the music industry is moving towards NFT. So it's a natural progression for music to head towards NFTs and you know, blockchain. But it's also important for a business that worked in that space to do that as well. And they've now picked up, you know, some major, like they're working with Animoca Brands, they're working with MetaMask, or they're working on a pitch with MetaMask, and they're working on 4 or 5 games at the moment. They're working with ETH Lizards. So we share the same marketing team now as ETH Lizards. And you know, they're bringing some amazing community members into ETH Lizards, and they brought some amazing community members into Salties. But, you know, what we're going to do with that and how we're going to activate the community is really, really interesting.
I love that. Yeah, a lot of people don't like it, but marketing is really important in Web3, just as everything in life. And we're sort of seeing that the last 6 months, especially, where there's so many projects. How do you stand out from the crowd? You market. And I think marketing has like a bit of a negative connotation. But I think marketing done well is really, it's not a negative thing. It's showing your brand off and building a brand, building a culture and sharing that with the world and not spamming stuff down people's face that's annoying. And that's what good marketing firms do.
I was just going to say, like, there's 4 really major pillars, I believe, for, you know, creating a great, strong NFT brand. I think marketing was where we had the most issues because, you know, the way that we sort of launched and got off the ground during the time, it was kind of like you saw a lot of rugs and, you know, it was a very interesting time when we launched. But marketing is obviously one of the major pillars. You've got community, you've got utility, and then you've got transparency. You know, consumers want transparency, but then you say that and then you see like a project like Goblins that just launched and it's so secret. And, you know, that's part of the mystery. I think a lot of people love that mystery, and it's like, you know, when we're talking about basketball cards, when you open that packet, you don't know what you get.
Yeah.
Gambling sort of side of that, you know, like, going to go well, is it not? So, yes, there's this, like, whole need for transparency and for people to dox, but then again, people are still, you know, jumping into projects that have zero roadmap, zero identity.
No idea about the team, yeah.
Well, why did we get rugged? Marketing is like one of the core pillars, and it's so necessary. And we're ramping up ours, so we're just about to really sort of take more of a Web3 approach, as well as, you know, some of the things we've really been building towards, you know, including this partnership as well.
I got to ask. The name Salty Pirate Crew, where did that come from? I know the idea of pirates, but how did you add the salty to it?
It's funny because I was actually going to call it Pirate Bay.
the torrent site, yeah.
But, and I sat down with my team and, you know, because, like, for me, like, it was my idea to go with Pirates, you know, the Marlin box that I was talking about. And, you know, I didn't really give my team much of, like, as much direction as I was having. So I said to the team, I said, you guys pick it. Like, I don't, like, I've had so much, you know, involvement in what we're doing. I want you guys to have the involvement of the name. You know, and that was the spirit of, I said to the guys, I said, we need to build a foundation where what we do inside of our company is what we do outside of our company. So this whole inclusion and people having a vote and having a say, it's not going to be about one individual. It needs to be about the company at whole and everybody having a say. So I said to them, look, you guys pick whatever you like. And, you know, they did a bit of research. They looked into the market. They sort of saw that there was, you know, this need to, or like you would see a lot of successful projects be like, like a couple of different, you know, words put together. So you'd have,
yeah,
you know, and then, you know, salty was just, you know, a natural progression of, you know, the ocean and, you know, just having that sea, you know, sea breeze, like the taste of the ocean. You know, that's where that sort of came from. But
that makes sense. Very thematic. Yeah. So we're recording this 28th of May. Pretty bearish time in the market. What are you feeling in the wider community, but within the Salty Pirate Crew community as well? Have you noticed sort of engagement being down? Are people a little low? Just curious to get your thoughts on the bear market, I guess.
Well, we're definitely in a bear market. I mean, you can see that from the numbers on OpenSea. You can see that from option people coming into the space. You can see that from like holders that are selling, you know, a lot of their NFTs. And this is like, I think we're probably at the bottom here. You know, like we always say that and we always like
the
case. It probably can go down another 10, 20%, maybe 30% from here. But I don't look at, like me personally, I don't look at the floor price. You know, I'm a full believer in blockchain and NFTs and the technology and what we're delivering here. I think it's technology changing stuff, right? And so I'm not here for 1 year, I'm not here for 6 months, I'm here for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, as long as I can be here. Yeah. So for me, you know, these downturns, they're always short term. Like even if it's 2 years, it's short term.
Yeah.
So the market, like my particular community, there's never been more positivity. I don't see any negativity. I don't see any people sort of asking like what's wrong with the floor price. You know, like everybody's been impacted. Everybody kind of knows that.
Yeah.
If you believe in this space, you know, like you've got to ride it out with the ones you believe in. If you're holding NFTs that you don't really, you don't have conviction for, you got to get rid of them. Like you just have to. Because like I'm probably what I'm saying sounds, you know, a little bit like what Gary V always talks about. It's like this is like future. Like the NFTs are solving real world issues. It's a technology that's going to be around for a long, long time. It's going to change the way we listen to music. It's going to change the way, you know, we buy and trade stuff. You know, we're going to see, you know, other businesses adopt this technology. So having a short term focus on the market is important for people that are here for short term or here to make money. But for people that are here to build and for people that really want to, because I think one of the most important reasons why I came into Web3 is to build and help people come into this space. Because if we don't help people come into this space, we're burning the bed that we made. So we want to continually bring people into NFTs. We need to onboard them properly. We need to give them a good experience. We need to help them. You know, like people producing NFTs just to make quick money or do rugs is, to me, is just like, I don't want to swear on this show, but it is so damaging to what we're trying to build here and the future of NFTs. And you know, we all need to work together to help people come into this space.
Yeah,
we can help people come into this space safely. Then we're going to have more people hang around for a longer time, and the adoption will happen faster. But Gary Vee always talks about, you know, when, you know, as, you know, the internet crashed or the, you know, like we had
the dot-com bubble.
Dot-com bubble, thank you. Sorry. it's the same throughout history, right? So you see something that, you know, people don't understand very well, because a lot of people really don't understand this space, and that's one of the reasons why people fear it, is because they don't understand it. It's something that they don't understand, and people dive in really early as early adopters, and then it goes up really fast, and we see, you know, valuations of what things are worth in 10 years' time as opposed to right now. The whole thing is crashing down, and what gets left are the people that really truly want to be here, want to build. And, you know, like I feel like if it goes to zero, I'll still be here. You know, like really, like, I love this space. I want to continue to build in it. I want to build experiences. I want to build, you know, like, for people coming into space. If Pirates is going to be someone's first experience, I want to make it the best experience possible.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I think, yeah, yes, we're definitely in a bear market, to answer your question. Sentiment is quite low across the board. But, you know, we're seeing real positivity in ours. I don't really care what happens in the market. It's more about, you know, longevity.
I love it. I love it. I speak to a lot of founders, builders, creators, artists, and they all have sort of the same type of response, where it's like, yeah, okay, we're in a bear market, but I don't care, because I'm here for years. I'm here for decades. I believe in the technology. I have this conviction. It's going to change the world. It's going to revolutionize everything. And I think the more people that get that, it's this sort of like this, you can't put the genie back in the bottle, and it's just like, it's out now. It's just going to keep growing in adoption. New people will find it and understand it, and then they'll be here forever. And it's just going to be an exciting decade, I think. It's really going to change the world. Everything's going to change. And it's super exciting to see. And that's wonderful that your community is like not upset or not at each other's throats, not wondering about the floor price, because I know there are so many communities out there where, because there wasn't anything fundamental attracting them, they were there to make money. When the price goes down, they're like, devs do something, and they just are really upset, and it's sad, but that's the case for a lot of projects. But I'm really happy to hear that it's not like that with Salty Pirate Crew.
Yeah, we only have 100 for sale, which is crazy. Like, if you look at any other project, it's like, We're one whale away from going to like 5. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. Yeah. You know, like, I love our community. Like, it's amazing, because, you know, like I said, like, it's a buzzword, but to meet so many great people, and this is why, like, I'm so thankful for Web3, because the people that I've met through this space are people I never would have met in my life.
Yeah.
And they're just awesome people. And they're all here for the same reason. And, you know, like, having a collection, you start to really build a group of people that, you know, have the same commonalities from anywhere in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, because it attracts people for, like you said at the beginning, about this nostalgia. This feels like a child collecting again, that whole fun mystery element that, I mean, I hear a lot of people say that, you know, NFTs, they're full of like sneakerheads, teenagers, you know, 20-year-olds. I think the average age is like mid-30s. It's just like, I'm talking to so many people that are like, grew up in the 90s, and just, we are here because, you know, we couldn't capitalize on Web 1. We probably had just started earning an income in Web 2, and the world was changing. And like, we grew up with the internet, and then now Web 3 comes along, and we're like finally in a position where, you know, maybe we've been working for 10, 15, 20 years. We have a bit of capital. We have experience to build and networks and connections. And then it's just like, it's almost like this reunion and this party of just everyone that grew up on the internet in the 90s, it's so much fun. It really is.
I totally agree with you. Like, I'd say my community is like a little bit more mature than most, because Pirates is something I think has been in the hearts of, you know, people like around their 30s and 40s for a long time. But we always see young, you know, people in
Discord,
and, you know, like, I've spoken to some really switched on 20-year-olds. Like, it's in. It's,
oh, yeah.
Like, I wasn't that switched on when I was 20. I was just chasing girls. It's like, but, you know, like, I see some really dedicated, you know, guys diving in with, you know, like, at the age of 20, and they're just, they're unreal. They're really
cool. It's incredible. Yeah.
I totally agree with you. I think the mid age is around 30 for sure.
I think it is. Yeah. I had the pleasure of interviewing and chatting with Danny Cole yesterday, the artist behind Creature World. And he is, I think, like 21, 22. He's young, but he is wise so far beyond his years. It's just, and it's just such a genuine, it's just, yeah, it just, I was blown away. I mean, I didn't, yeah, it's just the caliber of I think the people that get into NFTs and sort of get it, like actually get it, who aren't just here just to flip money, but like understand the tech, it takes a certain level of like maturity, like worldview and understanding to get that. And then have that at 22, or even, I mean, I got people in Zen Academy that are like 16, 15, and it's just so wild talking to them and getting their perspectives. But yeah, it's awesome.
That must be so fulfilling for you, like just, you know, having like this range of people from all aspects of life coming together to, you know, work together and support
yeah.
what you're doing. And it's really cool.
I
love Zen Academy.
I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, it is really, really cool. And it sounds like you've got the same thing with Salty Pirate Crew, which, yeah, a good community is priceless, really, in this space and in this life. All right, we've sort of spoken a lot about the history up until here, what you've done. What are you excited about going on now with Salty Pirate Crew? What are you working on right now? What's coming up next? What's exciting you?
So there's probably two major things or three major things that we always work on in Salty Pirates. One is the progression of the game. Two is IRL and partnerships outside of just online. So mm-hmm. we want to be working IRL and creating events and stuff like that. And three is so we always want to be bringing people into the community. So there's two things that we're doing that are kind of overlapping. One is we're bringing a lot of really great artists into our space, so to be holders of Pirates. And that these are guys like you know, celebrity DJs that have, you know, 1 million plus followers that have created some of the songs that, like, we've, for example, Lude is a holder of Pirates, just created that Land Down Under song that's had 500 million plays.
Wow.
He's done incredibly well. We've got What's So Not, who used to play with Diplo. We've got Lucille Croft, who's about to release her album, her new album, sorry. We've got Dom Dolla, who did, you know, what, San Francisco, Where's Your Disco? You know, remember that big song that came out? He did that.
Yeah.
We've got some really great artists in this space. We've got DJ Tiger Lily that's got 500,000 followers in Sydney. And the reason why we're pulling all of these artists into this space is because we are building a metaverse for Pirates. It's going to be our Pirate Club. So, you know, we've started designing it and we've built a big DJ stage with a big skull or a big pirate skull with a hat on it behind it. There's flamethrowers and stuff and lasers.
That's so cool.
And all this is really cool. And then we've got this massive pirate ship center, and then all around it is like sand and palm beaches and then boats just floating in the water. And then at the back we've got two bars. We've got a fizz bar that's like our sponsorship. We've got some TV screens on the side that we'll have to roll through different videos that Fizz might want to do. We have ready to play, but we're able to produce, like we'll be able to have about 200-300 people attend these events online and walk around as an avatar. And then if we go beyond that, we just spin up different servers to be able to hold the server load because it is very very server heavy because of the detail that we've gone into. So what we want to do is we want to be able to create experiences and have these artists play in these formats so that we don't have to have IRL alone to be able to try and get everybody in the world together at one time.
Yeah.
It's impossible. And, you know, we want to create these great experiences. We've seen other projects do it really well, but it's also a really great way to collaborate with other projects. So, you know, we're talking to some really great projects at the moment that they could bring their community into to our club at the same time. And we all participate in a What's So Not or a Lucille Croft set. So that's something that we're working on. And we are always focused on bringing great talent, and great artists into the space. We are also focused on the development of the game. So right now we've delivered Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. Chapter 2 is a play-to-mint strategy game. So Gen 2s are rewarded to the holders for playing the game. Inside of our actual ecosystem, so the very first generation pirates, the male pirates, there's about 7 different types of race. So there's aliens, orcs, there's primates, and so on, and elementals. Mm-hmm. Like that. So depending on which one you hold, each one creates a number of resources per day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, your fire pirates, which is a fire element that will create fire at a much faster rate than, say, a human, and so on and so on. So there's about 10 different resources that you need to earn. And then so what it does is it basically it gamifies the airdrop. So rather than just airdropping the female pirate to everybody and not creating value, we created this gamification and our very first iteration of where we're developing our game. So like I said, like, you know, the startup sort of mentality where we build, we uncover what works, what doesn't work, we get user feedback, we work with the community because they're involved as well. And we make those iterations and changes, and then from chapter to chapter, we develop further beyond what we did for chapter two, chapter three, etc. So chapter two is about halfway through being minted, and it's a play-to-mint strategy game. So when you earn these resources, you need to be quite strategic about which pirates you hold in your collection, and then you receive those resources each day, and then you craft items. So you build items to go on a quest. And then when you complete the quest, you then get given a Gen 2 pirate. And so you're only able to do one for one. So if you have 4 pirates in your collection, you can mint 4 female pirates.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's sort of slowly being minted out over the last 3-4 weeks. And we project minting out in the next 2 weeks based on world events, because we run world events inside of the game. So world events are like, We gamify it a little bit. So we say Paleo, the volcanic pirate, has fallen down over the top of the fire mine. Daily production of fire has increased 30%, etc. Mm-hmm. So we introduce those into the game. We call them world events because it changes for everybody. So it's a world, like it changes, like the percentages change.
Yeah.
And then we're also doing side games and stuff like that to help people progress towards being able to meet their sometimes their first female pirate, sometimes their fourth. So we're slowly getting through that, and we're already developing game number two, which will be chapter 3, which is incorporating bringing in cabins. So we're building a ship, and then inside of the ship we're designing all these different style of rooms. So we've got accommodation, like we've got levels of accommodation. So you'll have one that's just like a bunk bed. You've got ones that are like really sort of glamorous. They've got like chests and, you know, like really nice bed, wardrobes and, you know, drapes and stuff like that. And what we're doing is we're doing a 2-based mint. So one will be a cabin that everybody will have, kind of like when you see those projects that have keys. They're all the same, but they get traded in the one NFT. So there's a buy and sell order inside of the NFT. So that'll be like a basic one. That will give you access to the game and will allow you to participate in Chapter 3. That'll be very, very cheap. We just want people to be able to come in and play the game. And then we're creating ones that are unique. So we're creating jails, we're creating libraries, we're creating rooms, we're creating you know, all different aspects like a treasure room, et cetera, et cetera. And this will be like a normal mint. And based on the room that you mint, will be a power play for your game. So, and you'll be able to go through in your dashboard and actually choose the power play that you want to have actually up there. So depending on your strategy or what part of the game you're up to, you might change halfway through between your power plays. So an example of a power play is, like, for example, if you mint the jail, every time you open, so we've got loot boxes that you can open inside of a game. So there's like a random, like the number generated randomness to opening those, and there is a chance that you open a 0. So that's called stealing. So every time someone steals, the people that hold the jail power card, they get a percentage of every time someone spent to buy that box. So they're earning a result of the tokens, right? So you know, like another example is if you have the library, then it's going to give you access to more of those resources because it's a wealth of knowledge. So, you know, like we're creating all these power plays and all of these cabins and then a dashboard for you to be able to manage it. I know it sounds like a lot, but you're basically sort of building this strategy development game.
No, it sounds awesome. Like I love games. I'm a huge, I love like Civilization. I love board games. I love strategy games. And it sounds fantastic. Is it on chain, the games, or is the play like off chain?
It's off chain. There's a story behind that. I don't know if we have time for that, but
if you got it, let's dig into it and wrap up
for you. But so we knew that we didn't want to move away from OpenSea because that has most adoption, and for us about trying to use a bridge because we have lots of microtransactions because every time you trade and swap and open a loot box, these are costs that are really going to affect you and kill the game.
Yeah.
So we spend about 2 months trying to develop or use the Polygon bridge because Polygon allowed us to still stay on Ethereum on OpenSea and still have the OpenSea, but we then had to create a mirror and, you know, had all these issues with creating it. So we just said, look, our expertise and our knowledge has come from Web 2. We're going to build, and, you know, this is when I said at the start, I said, you know, like projects create a token and it's a race to the bottom. We knew that we wanted to create a game and we also knew that we wanted to create a token, but we didn't want to create a token and have that race to the bottom because essentially tanks the token and tanks the project. Yeah. So what we did is we developed a game off-chain. So we've used Amazon Web Services. We've built the whole thing ourselves. It's all custom. We've created pseudo tokens. So we've got two currencies inside of the game. So we've got salt, which is like obviously salty, which is our major currency. And then we have gold as well. And then we have all the different resources and then all the different items. And then in the next game, we're moving to components as well. So there's going to be another added level of complexity to that. But we built the whole thing off chain, and you know, we tried to look at, you know, being as on chain as possible. But Polygon just isn't really up to where it needs to be for us to do that. It's quite clunky, the bridge. You know, sometimes it can take up to 45 minutes for these transactions to occur. Yeah. It's just like where we're up to, like this, the space is moving so fast, and you know, NFTs, you know, like a day feels like 2 weeks in the air.
Yeah.
But, you know, like it's not really, the technology is not really up to where we need it to be doing these microtransactions inside. Yeah. So we just decided this solves two of our problems. It solves the staying on OpenSea and being, you know, on the marketplace that has the most adoption, and then also doesn't go into costly expenses by playing. So people are playing our game for free. There's no staking. There's no incentives for holding. It's just the strong community that's doing that.
It's fun.
Yeah. That's the most important thing.
It is the most important thing. Yeah. Like if people are only playing your game because they're trying to get a token that they're going to sell for, you know, $10 a day or which is decent money, but it ends into this grinding, non-fun game dynamic. And I think for a while, projects seem to have forgotten that and focused on like the play to earn elements. And now we're starting to see a shift back to play and earn, or just play. Just the game, just have the game be fun. And that's it. Like, yeah, I think that's just wonderful to hear. I've heard a lot of similar things with Polygon as well. It's not quite where it needs to be, but it will be one day, and other layers and stuff. So, all right. Before we wrap up, I mean, this has been wonderful. I could chat to you for just hours and hours, but and I used to, like, these conversations used to go like 2 hours long, and then people said that's too long, and shorter episodes a little bit better. So I try to keep them a little bit shorter. But is there anything else you want to mention before we do wrap up?
I'd just like to say that our collaboration with Fizz in the real world, that is a world first for NFTs. And I want to keep doing stuff like that. So that we're not going to stop there. I want to continue to do partnerships and work with real brands. There's actually one that we're working on, I can't really say right now, but it will blow people's minds when we actually, if we pull it off. But this is the way that we get adoption in this space. it's not just about, you know, building cool stuff online, which is great. You know, I'm all for it and we are doing it. But it's how can we get real brands to actually work with NFTs and help us to get, you know, further into, you know, people outside of the Web3. I mean, everybody calls people outside of Web3, Web2, which is so incorrect, right?
Yeah.
There are people that are developing and building in Web2 tools, and most people don't do that, right?
Yeah.
You know, like we're working with No Standing, our marketing agency, for a reason. It's to bring more people into this space. You know, like we want to work with people that are coming into this space, not just people that are in this space. It's a very big focus for us. And, you know, like if we can bring people into this space, we can onboard them safely, we can make them have fun, we can help them have fun, and we can, you know, work with people to bring them into NFTs, it's good for everybody. It's good for the space. It's good for other projects. You know, like I love collaborating with other projects. I especially love collaborating with Australian projects. That's not to mean that I won't, you know, collaborate with any other projects, but it's that familiarity.
Familiarity.
It's a hard one, but
it is a tough one.
Having that connection already and understanding, you know, like the culture that we come from, but you know, like building these collaborations, onboarding people properly, you know, working together. This is what Web3 is all about. We need to do a better job of it. I know there are a lot of people doing a really good job of it, but we need to work together because if we really want to see adoption in this space, we really need to bring people in. And it's our responsibility as projects to do that safely and do that in a fun way because we don't want to just bring people in to bring them in. We want to bring them in to stay.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, and it's so important, like you said, to reach a wider audience. We're sort of a lot of the times isolated in our own little bubbles and we're just preaching to ourselves and preaching to the choir, and that's not how we get mass adoption. So I love that you're sort of getting out there and making these connections with established brands and bridging that Web3 to not Web2, but just the rest of the world gap.
I'd love to talk to you about Metaverse another time because I've got some really interesting concepts and ideas for Metaverse, and I know we've run out of time now, but it'd be great to just talk to you, pick your brain.
We're going to get you back on and we'll have another one of these and we'll definitely chat off air as well. Where can people find you and Salty Pirate Crew? What are the best places? Like if someone wants to be part of the community, Twitter, website, Discord, where do you hang out most?
Just come join us at Discord. You know, like you don't have to buy a pirate. You don't have to do anything like that. Just come meet the guys in here. You know, we've got a very supportive group. We've got a lot of people in here that run seminars about safety and security in this space as well. We were very big on that. Just come say hi, hang out. You don't need to buy a pirate. It's like we just love to have you involved in the community and be, you know, part of this movement that we're really trying to build experiences. We're trying to build, you know, IRL stuff and connections and you know the game that we're working towards. So we'd love to have anyone of you come join us.
I love it. We'll have a link to the Discord in the description below, as well as other links if people want to dig in elsewhere. Excuse me. And thank you. Thank you so much for being here, for sharing your story, Salty Pirate Crew story, your insights to the market. It's incredible to talk to other founders and builders and hear about what you're working on and how, like, it makes me bullish on the space every single day talking to people like you, because it's like real people building real things for years and years and years. And it's like laying the groundwork for what's going to come. So yeah, I really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you, Roy. You're amazing. You've done a lot for the space. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Zen Chats with Zenica. Please consider subscribing to the podcast so that you are notified of future episodes. Also, make sure to check out our YouTube channel for the video version of this episode. For even more podcasting fun, check out the other podcast I co-host, Two Bored Apes. If you enjoy my content, please consider joining us at Zen Academy, a place where anyone, anywhere, at any level can learn about NFTs and Web3. All of the links are in the description below. I'll catch you next time.